Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 1. We're going to be starting at verse 35 and going to verse 42. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you'll find that on page 750. John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. We read these words. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." And they went and they saw where he was staying and spent the day with him, and it was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said, who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful words. Look forward to hearing what God has to say to us through his speaker this morning.
There's a gentleman that you see running around the church quite often. Sometimes children's church is dismissed. Thank you, Matt, for sharing that patriotic message with us in song. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask once again you'd please open up to the Gospel of John. Chapter 1, I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of step this way. As I stated earlier, this is the weekend where we celebrate freedom. But I am increasingly aware of the fact that no one is truly free until they have found freedom of the soul. No one is truly free. We can live in a free nation, go where we want, say what we want, do what we want. We can live in that kind of freedom and yet be imprisoned in our own souls. Or the other side of that is we can live in a nation where there is no freedom to speak what you want to speak. There is no freedom to go where you want to go and yet be completely free inside of our soul, if we have trusted Jesus Christ for salvation. This morning, as I was contemplating this particular passage of Scripture, I was reminded of the fact that there were some folks who had a choice that they could make. And they could step their way to God and to living a life that honors God, or they can step away. They can choose to follow the God who created them and to heed His word and pay attention, or they can choose to reject that and remain enslaved. I would hope that each and every one of us today would make the decision that we want to step God's direction and that we want to experience in this life and in this world the reality of freedom, genuine freedom, not just that hangs from a flagpole. And please understand, I believe the American flag next to the Christian flag is the greatest flag in the world. No offense. But I believe that the American flag is secondary to the freedom of Christ. And that although the freedom that we have in this nation is a temporary thing, the freedom of Christ is eternal. And that we weren't created just to be here, and to exist. But we were created in the image of God for the purpose of life, and that life to be forever and ever. And so we all face in our lives a choice. What will I do with Jesus? What will I do with His call to follow Him? What will I do with my life? And so we can step this way towards Him, or we can step away. The choice is ours. In this particular passage of Scripture that was read this morning, we're going to look at six things. I want us to look at, first of all, the listening. Then second, the looking. Third, I want us to look at the leading. Number four, the lauding. Number five, the living. And then number six, the loving. And I've kind of adjusted my outline here, and so I've got lines drawn all over the place, and I've jumped around quite a bit. So I'll probably get confused because I can't read my roadmap. So I ask for your patience. The very first thing I want you to notice is the listening. Look with me, if you would, at the 36th verse of that passage of Scripture, verses 35 and 36, actually. The Scriptures record this as John is recalling these events. He says, again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. That would be John the Baptist. John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." You see, what John the Baptist was doing was he was acknowledging that there is one who is greater than he who has come on the picture. At the time of John the Baptist's ministry, the nation of Israel was, of course, once again in captivity. They were once again being held under the rule and under the thumb of someone else. It happened to be Rome at this point. And in their being held under someone else's thumb, they were a people who did not have true freedom as we consider freedom. And in the process of all of this, there was a tremendous amount of unrest. The church at that time had gone to a form of legalism that was oppressive and that was really pushing down freedom. And the stage had been set because it was the perfect time in God's timing to allow His Son not just to be born, but to reach a fullness of age to where He could begin His public ministry. And as John is looking at this circumstance, this is the very early days of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And John was recognizing the fact that in order for the plan of God to be able to be completed, he had to step down while Jesus came to the forefront. And so he is looking at these two disciples that are with him, and as Jesus is coming into the picture and coming onto the scene, he looks at them and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God. This is the one. This is the Messiah. This is the God that we have waited so long for." Pay attention to what he's going to teach. Listen to what he's going to say. If you read a couple of the other accounts, you will find that John literally comes out and says, "He must increase, I must decrease. John had developed a huge following. People were coming by the riverside every day, getting baptized. People were connecting once again to a realization of faith and an importance in their commitment to God. And so he is setting the stage for Christ to come full force with his ministry. And now he's reached the point where he must begin to step back so that Jesus can have a full opportunity to do what he was sent to do. And so he talks to these disciples that were following him, and they listen. Behold, pay attention to. Not just give a glancing notice to, but behold. And whenever you see that, what he's doing is he's declaring, this is important. Listen. Pay attention. Behold. With all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, view the Lamb of God. The one who is to be the perfect sacrifice. The one who is to win mankind's salvation. Behold the Lamb of God. Listen. Now, I want you to notice, secondly, if you would, the looking that takes place. It says, and he looked, in verse 36, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked. He was observant to what was taking place going on around him. And he saw as Christ was coming down the pathway. How do you view God? What do you see? Are you looking to see what he is doing and what he wants to accomplish in life? Or are you just going through life not really paying attention to what God wants? Not really paying attention to who he is? Are you just living for yourself for the moment? And the amazing things that God's doing just pass your notice because you're not looking. You know, there have been several times when driving in the automobile where my wife goes through panic because I'm the one driving. And she looks better than me, more ways than one, but she looks better than I do. She pays a little more attention, a little further out. See, I figured that there was a reason that brakes were put on an automobile would be to make the tires squeal. She thinks that they're on there to slow down a quarter of a mile before. And I see some husbands looking at their wives going. But you see, we look at things with a little different perspective. And that's perfectly okay. But when it comes to looking and paying attention to Jesus Christ, we have to look at the reality of the fact that there's no other way to life but through him. We have no other opportunity to live forever in the presence of God but through Jesus Christ. And John, even in these no matter how I say it, it's going to come out wrong. In these pre-redemption moments, because Christ has not yet been crucified and risen, but even in that pre-faith opportunity, he's looking. And he's seeing the God of the universe. Don't miss the opportunity to follow God because you're not looking at what God wants and what he wants to do. John was very observant. And seeing him come down the road, looking at him coming down the road, declares, "Behold, the Lamb of God. Look on the Lamb of God. Look to the Christ. Look to the gift of salvation. Look for life." I wouldn't want anyone here to miss an opportunity to find Jesus Christ as your personal Savior because you just didn't look. Jesus is the one true way to eternal life. There is no other way. And those who choose to not come into a faith relationship with Jesus Christ, choose to be separated from God and from good forever in a place of eternal fire and eternal torment. You see, there's the choice. We can have life that is forever with peace and joy and love and compassion, or we can have eternal separation, which is pain and heartache and hurt and loneliness and continual reminders that we don't have to be there. So we need to look at Jesus and pay close attention there. The third thing that I would like you to notice is the leading. Look at verses 37 and 38. And the two disciples heard him speak. Heard who speak? John the Baptist. They heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following, and he said to them, "What do you seek? What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" You see, these disciples, they're paying attention to their leader, John the Baptist. He says, "Look, here comes the Lamb of God." That penetrates their hearing. And as they listen to that, they determine they're going to follow the Lamb of God. There are leaders in this world and there are followers. It's absolutely true. But when it comes to the ultimate leadership regarding our spiritual life, there's only one leader. And he's not a pastor. He is Jesus Christ. I can't give you life, nor can any other pastor, priest, prophet. No one can give you life. Only Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me." And so only Jesus Christ can give life. And so as these two disciples of John's are paying attention to what their leader tells them, they immediately make their decision to follow the true way to eternal life. Folks, I'm going to tell you, this church can't take you to heaven. Your parents can't take you to heaven. Your Sunday school teacher can't take you to heaven. Your youth leader can't take you to heaven. Your pastor can't take you to heaven. Only Jesus can take you to heaven. Only Jesus can give you life. And so if you're going to follow anyone, follow him. And you follow him through obedience to his word and what he has taught. Anything less than that is not following. And so as John looks at these individuals and he looks at Christ and then he points them to Christ, they pay attention and they follow his leadership. Now, I want you to notice the living. Look at verse 39. And he said to them, remember, they've asked him the question, Rabbi, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and you will see. In other words, follow me. Follow me and you will see where I'm going. They came, therefore, and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. They had determined at that point, you know what, this is what we're going to do. John, it's been great. You've been awesome. You have opened our eyes to so many things. But he has life. He has salvation. Your teaching has been right on target, but we can't follow you. We will follow him. That becomes a very important decision in the heart of man and in man's mind. Choose you this day who you will serve. Are you going to serve self and self-centeredness and selfishness? Or are you going to serve Christ who sacrificed for you? Are you going to serve Christ who rose from the dead for you? Are you going to serve Christ who has promised that he's going to come back and get you? Are you going to serve Christ who has promised you a new existence that will be forever and forever? Choose you this day who you will serve. Self or salvation? Because that's the choice. That's what's available. Folks, choosing self will not bring life and bring living. Choosing Christ brings life and brings living. I want you to notice next the lauding, if you will. Verses 40 and 41. And one of the two who heard John speak and followed him, followed Christ, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which translated means Christ. You see, Andrew, immediately upon finding Christ and finding life, goes and gets his brother. Hey, Pete, Simon. Found him. You know the one that we have been waiting for? You know the one that the prophets have talked about for, lo, these thousands of years? The one who was to come and to be able to bring salvation? We found him. we have found him. And what they're doing is they are singing the praises of the Christ. They are lifting him up by sharing the good news of what they've found. I believe that one of the greatest problems of the modern day church is that we don't share what we found. The truth of salvation is becoming a well-kept secret. Since Billy Graham has retired, a great voice for salvation has become silent. Franklin is an amazing man of God. I believe that with all my heart. But his calling is not the same as what the calling of his father was. And somewhere, God has got another Billy Graham that he wants to use to proclaim the gospel message of Jesus Christ to this world. And it is important now for the church, for the modern day church, to pray for God to bring forth that individual to get the message of salvation out to the masses. I don't want to burst your bubble, nor mine, but we have a limited outreach in the ministry here. And somewhere, God has to bring forth someone with unlimited abilities and resources so that the kingdom of God can be preached everywhere, as it was with Billy Graham. We need to be praying for God to open up those avenues. And not have these crazy, wacky guys that get all of the attention. You know, the Campbells and the Bells. These ones that are bizarre and out there. Let's forget about that. Let's ask God to raise up someone who's going to teach and preach the truth about Jesus Christ and communicate that in a way that reaches the masses. You see, that was the setting of the stage for John the Baptist to come along. But then he recognized he needed to step aside so that the Christ could have full and effective ministry. I must decrease, he must increase. Billy Graham has reached the point in his life where he realizes, I must decrease. But where's the increaser? Where's the one who is stepping forward to say, I will take the gospel to the masses? We may not be able to do that out of this congregation, but you know what? We can, every one of us, model Jesus Christ before this world, before our community, before our neighborhood, before our families, because that's where it begins. Satan would have us become quiet and not share our faith. We must stand up against Satan and decide to follow Jesus with everything that we are to reach as many as we can, because who knows, that next Billy Graham may be someone that we influence. They might be. So let's truly seek to have God have free reign. Let's behold the Lamb of God. And now, you see, that's exactly what Andrew did. He went and got his brother, and he brought him. He said, "We've found the Messiah. Go and get your brother and bring him to Jesus. Go and get your sister and bring her to Jesus. Go and get your cousin and bring him to Jesus. Go and get your mom and dad. Bring them to Jesus. Go and get your neighbor and bring them to Jesus. Be an Andrew." And then in closing, I want you to notice the loving. And Andrew, and I don't believe I'm doing any disservice here, and Andrew loved his brother so much that he brought him to Jesus. It says, "And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him," Peter, "and said, 'You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas,'" which is translated Peter. "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Peter." You see, Jesus looked at him, and he said, "I love you enough that I make all things new. I'm going to give you a new name. I'm going to give you a new opportunity. I'm going to give you fresh life. I'm going to give you new life." And that's what God wants to do for each and every one of us. He wants us to have a newness of life. He wants us to have a fresh opportunity. He wants us to have a fresh start. He wants us to have life, and He wants that life to be eternal. But He's not going to force it on us. He's going to offer it to us. Behold the Lamb of God. Look to Jesus, the author of faith, the finisher of faith, who produces life. And decide today to follow Him. Then you'll have freedom. Real freedom. Not just patriotic freedom, which is important, not belittling it. But patriotism will not get us into heaven's gates. Only Jesus will do that. Let's serve Jesus. I'm going to ask you to please stand. And if you would, take your hymnals. Open up to number 376. The song is, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." We're going to sing this. And if you're here today and you'd have to admit, "I haven't been looking to Jesus. I've been looking at people, I've been looking at circumstances, I've been looking at a whole lot of things, but I've not been looking at Jesus. But today, I'm going to commit myself to following Him." If that's what you're sensing, I'm going to invite you to step out and come. Jesus died publicly for you. Don't be afraid to make a public declaration of your faith to follow Him. Get people praying for you. If God is speaking to your heart, step out of where you're at and come and kneel at this altar, be seated in one of these pews, whatever. But decide today to follow Jesus.